the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, let me ask you a question. You gotten anything for your dad for Father's Day yet?
Oh, balls.
Yeah, I totally forgot, too.
No, I mean I got him oh balls soap. Bubble Genius makes soap that look like golf balls and smell like fresh-cut grass. In metal buckets.
Get out of town. He's crazy for the golf.
And it comes in three sizes. I'm getting my dad the large.
Do they have extra large?
Don't forget your dad this Father's Day. Bubble Genius has balls and more for the first man in your life.
BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Hello, Kenny. How are you feeling?
My foot's like new. You think you'll have new work on Monday?
I'll have 15 campaigns for you by then, but you have to get me in a room so I can look them in the eye. The timbre of my voice is as important as the content. I don't know whether I'll be forceful or submissive, but I must be there in the flesh.
You understand that I have no power whatsoever.
That's not true. Not if they like you.
Oh, they like me, all right. I'm their favorite toy.
That's your job.
It's my job to take them to dinner at 80 miles an hour. It's my job to stop a mile from the restaurant so they can have 5 pounds of crab legs and 3 bottles of beer apiece and then go get prime rib. It's my job to go hunting so they can fire off their guns an inch from my ear and laugh when I get startled because it's my job.
Where did you learn that?
My mother.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Wednesday, May 29th, 2013, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez, brought to you every week by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius, the best bath and body products in the entire universe. And something you do with your dad and his balls.
Yay.
Oh, you know what? We also have another sponsor today. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. I had an urgent legal matter recently that needed to be cleared up, and Charles jumped in and handled it with in just a few days. I mean, it was like lightning fast. The whole thing, talked to him on the phone, next day, done. It was insane. He's fast, smart, and he knows how to communicate with clients. That's super important. You're dealing with an attorney. You don't want to get pawned off on some legal assistant. You want to talk to the guy. And you want him to call you and talk to you and help you through the problem. And that's exactly what Charles did. Bowen Law Group. They cover commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, medical malpractice law, large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability. How about that? It's the BowenLawGroup.com. TheBowenLawGroup.com. You can also click the link on the website. So, I guess the big news of the day, Chez, is that Michelle Bachmann's going away for a while.
Not going away the way she should be.
And that's exactly what I was thinking, too. When I was told of the news, it was told to in exactly those words. And I was like, oh my God, they finally committed her.
Right. That would be nice.
She's going away. Well, you know, the other thought that occurred to me that maybe this FBI probe had come to fruition and they were frog marching her out.
That's probably what's going on with her, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the assumption. In case you haven't heard
the news. There's that in the fact that these days it's a career decision to get out of politics if you're crazy right wing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's probably been hanging out with Sarah Palin. So, you know, maybe it's a good idea to go out and do some grifting.
Right.
Maybe it's a good idea to become a pundit or write a few books and do a pointless bus tour. Have a reality show. Boy, can you imagine that? That would be a hell of a reality show. I might actually watch that. Between her and her husband. They're wacky. the wacky Bachmans. There's the name of the show. The name of the reality show is The Wacky Bachmans.
Right.
So, but she is being investigated by the FBI. And this was this came to light last month, and coincidentally enough, here she is, you know, a few weeks later. It was this month, a couple of weeks ago. Here she is a couple of weeks later, basically saying, I'm done with Congress. The FBI is investigating complaints of alleged campaign finance violations in Michelle Bachmann's presidential campaign. The FBI joins the Office of Congressional Ethics, the Federal Elections Commission, and an Iowa State Senate Ethics Committee. Wow. And probing whether Bachmann's presidential campaign paid an Iowa state senator from her Michelle PAC, a fund that should not have been used for campaign expenses, and whether the state senator stole the email list of an Iowa homeschool group from another Bachmann staffer, Barbara Hecke, prior to the Iowa caucuses in January 2012. Obviously, now the lists are flying around in terms of everyone trying to rank their favorite Michelle Bachmann episodes of insanity. And I kind of like, I'm partial to the Talking Points memo list. I mean, just about every blog has one now. Every blog has, in fact, posted some sort of list.
Yeah, I think Media put up one today.
Yeah. I saw one on the Huffington Post. There's a few places that have them. But here's some of her greatest hits. Barack Obama has anti-American views. That was probably Michelle Bachmann's entryway into the big time. That's what made her a household name in politics. Or she went on Chris Matthews on MSNBC and basically that
Congress should be, members of Congress should be investigated for anti-Americanism.
Yeah, whether they are pro-America or anti-America. Yeah. Very McCarthy of her. Number two, Obamacare allows abortion field trips for 13-year-olds. Referring to patient privacy protections in the Affordable Care Act, Bachmann wondered if young teenagers could go get abortions during school days. Quote, does that mean someone's 13-year-old daughter could walk into a sex clinic, have a pregnancy test done, be taken away to the local Planned Parenthood abortion clinic, have their abortion, be back and go home on the school bus that night? She said that on the House floor. That is entered in the congressional record. That is going down in history. This always leads back to my thesis that a lot of these people just have no business being in Congress voting on laws that affect 310 million people.
These people don't have any business walking around free. There's why Michelle Bachmann hasn't been injected with Thorazine is beyond me. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, again, this whenever these guys come up, whether it's Michelle Bachmann or Steve King or even Alex Jones and Glenn Beck, I always wonder if they're crazy or crazy like a fox.
Who's faking and who isn't?
Yeah. I mean, I'm constantly vacillating between the two. On one hand, I think these people are crackpots who just lucked into their positions because everyone's fascinated by the freak show. And so Americans always do that, where we always elevate the freak show.
Yeah.
Or are they simply pandering to the crazy voters in their district or their crazy listeners or what have you? And it's it's a tough call. And I'll absolutely cop to the fact that I don't specifically know where I land on this. One day it might be, they're crazy. The other day it might be they're crazy like a fox. They're doing this as a scam, as a grifting scheme.
I think it's pretty obvious that Beck is scamming people.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
Well, that's true.
That's self-evident. You can see it.
Yeah.
I think Bachmann really is pretty nuts. You know, I think that she's a combination of both. She knows how to milk that for her own success, and how to play on that to win over her idiot constituency. But yeah, but I think that she is. I think she does buy into it. I think she really does believe that kind of insanity.
Maybe there's a reinforcing aspect to her insanity. Maybe she is just crazy, and she discovered somehow that it works, and so she just keeps going with it. That could be possible. Because at some point, you got to, you know, when you win an election, my God. Well, I did something right there, I guess, when I was screeching about anti-American members of Congress and how we should investigate them. That really worked. Let's do that a little more.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, I can't remember who wrote about it not too long ago, but it was a really good point that, you know, they used to make the joke that, what is it, D.C. is Hollywood for ugly people. Mm-hmm. But more than ever, with the proliferation of political media, whether it's just 24-hour cable mostly, but whether it's 24-hour cable or all these websites, you know, YouTube and so on and so forth, these guys behave as if they're always on camera. And they know in our reality TV culture that the crazier they behave and the more idiotic crap that comes out of their mouths, the more coverage they're going to get.
Yeah.
And it's good for them. That's how they get their faces on TV. You know, you can be somebody who actually governs and nobody gives a rat's ass about, or you can be, you know, Steve Stockman, you know, or King, or Stockman, Michelle Bachmann, or somebody else who just, you know, who says something insane, and all of a sudden that's it. People care about her. You know, we never had she not said, like you said, had she not said any of this, she'd be vanishing now into the ether, and no one would care.
That's
or she'd
right.
be running again, and no one would care.
Yeah, she would be like my former congressman in Pennsylvania, this guy Jim Gerlach. You've never heard of this guy. He's a Republican. But he's just a rank-and-file guy who just votes to vote with the caucus, does nothing exemplary or weird or obnoxious. Right. He just exists in the shadows.
You know, Louis Gohmert and Ted Cruz are crazy because my God, who is Louis Gohmert? Why should you have any freaking clue who that asshole is? Why should you, why should you know his name? He's a two-bit nobody congressman from Texas.
Or Steve Stockman. The only reason we know. And that's that's the frustrating thing. All that insanity rises to the surface more rapidly than the real solid stuff, the real business of legislating. The insanity is the stuff that gets all the attention. And color me guilty.
No, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it says something about, I don't know. I mean, you know, I really don't mean to take to generalize completely and take sides here. But maybe it does say something about the difference between the sort of conservative mindset and the more liberal mindset, because we talk a lot about how Democrats seem more interested in governing, whereas Republicans seem more interested in power for power's sake. But you know, the conservative mindset is capitalistic; it's make money, and the way you make money and the way you achieve the making of money and the success for yourself, you know, the sort of solipsistic success is. You say crazy things and you put yourself on TV, and that's how you get the deals from Fox, and that's how you get noticed. Whereas people who don't think that way, their thinking doesn't revolve around how much money can I make from myself. Those people are actually interested in governing, and whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you're just going to fade off into the woodwork.
The system facilitates it. The more insane you are, the more attention you get. It's frustrating. You know, and I'm just as guilty as anyone else focusing on the insane people. But you know, I mean, there's an upside and a downside to it. So in my own defense,
I mean, you do it because you do it. We've talked about this how many times. You do it to call people out, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. Certainly, you know, I will sometimes avoid it because it honestly gives me a headache. You know, it's a completely personal thing for me. It just after a while, you know, you're just tired of the idiots.
Well,
it really starts to give you a migraine.
Start massaging your temples now, because here we are up to number 3. Census data can put you in internment camps.
Right, exactly.
In a 2009, June 2009 Fox News interview, Bachmann linked the census to Japanese internment camps. The census.
The census.
Number 4.
That's actually been a conspiracy theory boogeyman for a long time, though.
Yeah.
The census. That there's something evil afoot with the census.
A census taker tried to test me.
Right.
With Hannibal Lecters of the world. Number 4, Iraq should reimburse America for being liberated. That's funny. Number five, founding fathers worked tirelessly to end slavery.
That was a winner.
Yeah, they worked tirelessly. We know there was slavery.
Actually, they didn't work tirelessly. They had their slaves work tirelessly.
Yeah. We know there was slavery that was still tolerated when the nation began, she said. We know that was an evil, and it was scourge. It was scourge and a blot and a stain upon our history. I can't read her crap. I can't read this because it's not even real English. But we also know that the very founders that wrote those documents worked tirelessly until slavery was no more in the United States.
You know, there's a really good excerpt from Joe Muto's book, the guy who was the Fox News mole. Mm-hmm. His book is coming out, I think, like next week.
Oh, yeah. I've got that right here on my screen right now. And it's Salon. Yeah, there's an excerpt.
Yeah, and he's got a nice excerpt from it in Salon today.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's interesting that I immediately noticed is he talks about how at one point Bill O'Reilly, there was a story that was floated for the O'Reilly Factor, which he worked on, and it turned out to be false.
Yeah.
But O'Reilly didn't care that it had been debunked. He said that, you know, they need to run with it. And he used that exact terminology, which, you know, which how many times have we heard this? Well, we know this.
Yeah.
We know that this is happening. But wait a minute, we just found out that it's not happening. No, but we know this is happening. And the number of times that I've heard conservative talking heads say that. We know this. We know this is going on. We know that. No, you don't.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly.
You don't know that.
Yeah, he said in response, Bill O'Reilly said, I don't give an S what the guy said. It's the same old thing. They come out and deny it, but the story is there. We know it's true.
We know
we have
it.
We have the proof, he said. It was a stupid story about some White House guys buying $16 muffins at the Hilton. And it turned out not to be true, but he kept going with it.
Yeah, apply that, and he turned it into an actual story. Yeah. Now apply that to what Bachman says. We know that this happened, and we know, even though what she's talking about is absolute crap.
Yeah, it really is.
It's not, what you know is not real.
Right, because she also knows that Abraham Lincoln was one of the founding fathers, I think. You know, those people who believe that, well, they were all together, because they're always depicted together, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. So therefore, they were all founding fathers in some way.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to come back to this after a brief break. Back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yeah, all those slave-owning founding fathers worked tirelessly to end slavery, says Michelle Bachman.
Well, that also goes to that founding fathers as you know, God worship.
Yeah.
You know, they were these infallible creatures. Mm-hmm. You know, these divinely inspired, you know, that's the lost chapter of the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, that everything that came out of their mouths was gospel because it was inspired by God.
Yeah.
You know, they were completely infallible. That's the idiot conservative way of looking at the founding fathers, rather than looking at them as men with just as much, you know, just as many foibles, just as much pettiness, and who made just as many mistakes as, you know, the rest of us make.
Yeah. And I was running into a similar dynamic this week. I was posting some stuff on the Civil War on Memorial Day, as I like to do a lot, and I was being really critical of, shock horror, the Confederacy, and there were people who were just lining up to lionize these guys, especially like the rank and file Confederate soldiers, which, regardless of what their motive was for participating in that war, they were traitors. There's no doubt about that. They were absolutely traitors. But to go and say that they ought to be treated like traitors is somehow you're committing sacrilege against the United States. What are you doing? Why are you villainizing these guys?
That's a wound that's just never going to close.
I know.
And I'll never understand it.
I know. And I was hearing it from progressives, too. Where progressives like, how can you call yourself a progressive and single these guys out as being traitors? Well, that's what they were.
Well, because progressivism is all about cultural, you know, relativism.
Yeah.
Or not always, but it a lot of times it is. Everybody has to be accepted and embraced.
I could very easily spend the rest of the show on this topic, but I won't. So I'm going to exercise some self-control and get back to this Michelle Bachmann list. Even though it's probably better content, more serious content to talk about history and the Confederacy and Southern pride and all that crap than to talk about this number six item, which is Michelle Bachmann saying that HPV vaccine leads to mental retardation. There's no indication that vaccines cause mental retardation. Sorry. No. No evidence whatsoever. Number seven, people keep urging me to impeach Obama. Well, that could go for any member of Congress. So that was the seven items on the Talking Points Memo Greatest Hits list for Michelle Bachmann. It's a shame.
It would be nice if she'd been, like, driven out. If you really felt like, you know, somebody had stood up and said, like if her leaving was a direct response to, say, Bob Dole's comments.
Yeah.
You know, from a couple of days ago or yesterday, whenever the hell it was.
Well, here,
you know, that would be nice. If somebody said that, then I'd be like, all right, you know what? Good. At least the Republican Party is moving toward a little bit more sanity. But that, of course, is not the reality of it.
Now, well, here is something that surprised me along those lines. This is maybe the most surprising story of the week. In fact, I had to read it twice to know that I was reading what I was reading. Headline on Crooks and Liars, Arizona governor to veto all bills. Arizona governor, that's Jan Brewer, to veto all bills until Medicaid expansion is passed. That's a sentence that just unwraps as you go, thinking you know the exact next word, but it turns out you don't. Hmm. Like, you expect to say, Arizona governor to veto all Medicaid expansion bills. You know, you almost suffer from temporary dyslexia rearranging those words so they actually make sense, because this doesn't make any sense. Jan Brewer is actually supporting the expansion of Medicaid in Arizona per the mandates of Obamacare.
Well, I mean, yeah, that it does. It wouldn't seem to make any sense, but it wouldn't seem to make any sense if you know her.
Yeah.
But it makes sense if you understand Arizona, yeah. Which is that there are a hell of a lot of old people there.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that makes, you know,
and there are a hell of a lot of people who are on Medicaid.
Well, there are a lot of old people everywhere, so you got to wonder what are these other people thinking? I mean, these old people vote, and it doesn't matter whether they're poor or rich. There are lots of poor white people in these southern states who would very easily vote for a Republican.
Right. Did you say Medicaid or Medicare? My brain is like total mush today.
Medicaid.
I swear, my brain is like, it's a sieve.
Yeah, what's the matter with you? Are you tired?
It's a long story. I'm beat up. Yeah, I'm actually really exhausted, but, you know, I'm working insane hours.
I was telling, just did some behind-the-scenes stuff for a second here. I was telling Chez before the show, I was telling him about our new sponsor, the Bowen Law Group, Charles J. Bowen, attorney. And I said, yeah, he helped me out with this thing. And Chez goes, no one ever helps me out. I wanted to go, aww. No one ever helps me out.
That's me.
I mean, I had a big grin ear to ear. No, I said, Charles Bowen totally solved my problem. And in a second, he did it like in a second. It was amazing. And it's like, no one ever helps me out.
It is kind of true. I mean, I have some nice readers, but that's about it. I'm just worn out. I'm just going through like a really hellacious period.
Yeah,
I'm working insane hours, mm-hmm. and just the stress level is like, you know, a giant freaking 16-ton anvil on my shoulders.
Yeah, and I can always tell by the tone of your voice before you even tell me. We hook up on Google Hangout before the show, and I can always tell when I hear your voice sounding like Eeyore. You're in full Eeyore mode.
Yeah, pretty much.
I know exactly what's going on. All right. So, but back to Jan Brewer here. The combative GOP governor is sticking by a threat she made to veto all legislation until lawmakers resolve the 2014 state budget and pass Obamacare's Medicaid expansion. Quote, I warned that I would not sign additional measures into law until we see resolution of the two most pressing issues facing us, adoption of the fiscal 2014 state budget and a plan for Medicaid. This is amazing. It is disappointing that I must demonstrate the moratorium was not an idle threat. You know, Susie Madrick, who brings this to our attention on Crooks and Liars, had a pretty good point. And I kind of agree with this point. Why doesn't Obama just refuse to sign legislation until the Republicans agree to do something?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a plan that could possibly work. I think it would exacerbate the public perception of how Washington works, but that's almost irreparable at this point.
True.
So surprising. Jen Brewer surprisingly staunch in her support of the Medicaid expansion. That's pretty amazing.
Isn't that nice?
That's really nice. Yeah. And before we go to break, I just wanted to mention that that John Boehner is still on Benghazi.
Of course he is.
He didn't get the memo that they've moved on to the IRS. I'm sorry, I'm cracking myself up because I went to my link here for my source, and it's at Crooks and Liars. It's a Jed Lewison. I mean, not Crooks and Liars, Daily Kos. And he's got the picture of Boehner crying at the top. You know, Boehner's face all contorted. with his chin all bumpy and his mouth and that sad face. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, nobody helps me out.
Thank you.
Boehner said that he wants to know exactly what the president was doing as the attack was happening. And I had a brief thought that I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to figure out whether or not the president was sleeping while the attack was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, that can have dual benefit. President not waking up for the 3 a.m. call, one. And, the president's lazy and sleeping when he should be, you know, focusing on the attack that's happening, the terrorist attack. What's the matter with him, the lazy, shiftless bastard? That's exactly what they're leading to with this. And Boehner's not the first one to bring this up. Like, no one ever talked about what George W. Bush was doing during all of those Benghazi attacks, or during all those Benghazi-like attacks on other consulates. 13 right. plus of them. I guess maybe because people just assumed that he was sleeping. Maybe that was just the ongoing assumption that, Bushy was sleeping. Shh, shh, don't wake him. Got a break back after this. All my buttons are malfunctioning today. I had to cut out a little bit of... I had to just edit and post. But that's a weird... I just did a weird time-space bending there where I'm saying on the show, before I cut something out, that I cut it out in post. I think the universe is going to collapse on itself now.
Yes. But trust me, I feel that way all the time, or at least this week.
Show is brought to you this week by BubbleGenius.com. They're the best bath and body products in the entire universe. Seriously, go to bed. Stop the show right now. In fact, well, you could either stop or keep listening. But open up your browser, go to BubbleGenius.com right now, and just gaze at the variety of soap and bath and body products they have available for you. Smells good, makes you feel good to know that you're buying from an independent, progressive business run by women, and their products are the finest you can get. If you're still buying your stuff at big box stores and at Bath and Body Store, what's the matter with you? You ought to be supporting independent, progressive businesses, just like BubbleGenius.com. Here's the latest word.
Yeah, you're on like an anti-Walmart kick. I saw that.
Yeah. Well, that's never ending. That's ongoing. I'm always on that kick. Here's the latest word from Bubble Genius.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, let me ask you a question. You gotten anything for your dad for Father's Day yet?
Oh, balls.
Yeah, I totally forgot, too.
No, I mean I got him Oh Balls soap. Bubble Genius makes soap that look like golf balls and smell like fresh-cut grass. In metal buckets.
Get out of town. He's crazy for the golf.
And it comes in three sizes. I'm getting my dad the large.
Do they have extra large?
Don't forget your dad this Father's Day. Bubble Genius has balls and more for the first man in your life.
BubbleGenius.com.
Chug Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And your promo code is Bob and Chez, BobAndChez. You enter that when you go to check out at BubbleGenius.com and you get 15% off your entire order of soap and bath and body products. Okay, so moving on. Also scandal related. This item caught my attention. The Five, that's that show on Fox News Channel, hosted by Eric Bolling and Dana Perino.
No, you don't have to tell anybody that. That show is doing freaking gangbusters over at Fox.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great example of what we were talking about earlier on in the show, about how crazy sells. I mean, these guys... Yeah. The story I'm going to talk about here is the Five panel basically saying that, how dare the president go and visit Chris Christie at the Jersey Shore? There are these three scandals he should be focused on.
Yeah, no, that's just, even for the Five, that's stupid.
Yeah, here's Eric Bolling.
They don't know, the biggest problem with them is that they elevate everything to the same, this is what the conservative entertainment complex does. It elevates everything to the same level of insanity.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. You know, if it had the brains to latch on to one or two things and push those hard instead of pushing everything like it's, you know, like it's an end of the world scandal, chances are something would have stuck. I mean, this is just not my personal, this is from a PR perspective. You know, something would have stuck to Obama a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, here's Dana Perino and Eric Bolling talking about how the president should never have visited the Jersey Shore because he ought to be back in Washington focusing on the scandals.
Okay, so we're going to kick this around. First of all,
the
Eric,
scandals we created.
So President Obama goes to the Jersey Shore. One of the things that if I were Governor Christie, I would like about that is that the tourism industry is a $40 billion business, and they're trying to make sure that everybody knows we're open for business here in Sandy, but it certainly works in President Obama's favor as well.
Yeah, I think it was... It was interestingly timed visit to the Jersey Shore. Look, I get it. In fact, Dana, after the tornadoes in Oklahoma, we said, well, what do you think? He's going to get there by the weekend? And we said, oh, maybe Memorial Day weekend, that'd be a good time for him to hit Oklahoma. Sure enough, he did. I'm not sure that, I'm pretty sure that he made that spin around the Jersey Shore.
We know that he did it.
Right.
And this is exactly why. Yeah, we know it.
That's the crap that they know. They somehow mysteriously just know nonsense.
Right.
I'm not sure that, I'm pretty sure that spin around the Jersey Shore to kind of get people's attention off the three scandals. But let me remind you, there's Benghazi, there's the IRS, and there's the Department of Justice phone scandals.
You don't need to remind us. We know.
Yeah, trust me. We know. We know because you know.
Yeah.
And you will never let it go.
Yeah.
And you will hammer those non-scandals into the ground.
Yeah, and it just rattles
those
them off.
Scandals that, quite frankly, only conservatives give a crap about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, they might as well just have a running Chiron or one of those scrolling things at the bottom of the Fox News Channel screen.
What we know today.
Just the three things. It ought to just say IRS scandal, AP scandal, Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Right.
Yeah, the only one that's ever made me any sort of nervous, and I've written about this, is the journalism thing. And maybe, you know, that could be my, you know, me personally. I don't say I'm taking offense to it because I think that journalists kind of, there are times when they really deserve to be raked over the coals and they're protected a little too much. But other than that, it's still not as big as they're making it out to be. And none of the other crap matters a bit. The Benghazi thing is nonsense, and so is the IRS.
Well, it's funny. They won't go after, and it's amazing that Bowling was even mentioning it. I thought that the AP phone records thing would be sort of the conservatives would take a hands-off approach to that, because it's basically the president or the Justice Department is basically pursuing a Bush-era policy.
Like they give a crap? Yeah, you're really going to employ logic in this?
Silly me, my God.
Oh, come on. Yeah, whatever he does, it's wrong. So therefore, of course they're going to go. And besides that, totally the Justice Department made the mistake of including Rosen in its little, hunt the plug leaks. Mm. And so because of that, that gives Fox all the victimization it wants.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Obama has officially declared war on Fox News.
Exactly.
There's the IRS and there's the Department of Justice phone scandals going on right now. So let's keep it in the news and say, okay, President Obama, thanks. I'm a Jersey resident. That's my governor. All right, great. You did it. You did your thing. Let's get back to the scandals.
Let's get back to the scandals.
Let's get back to being on the defensive for crap that we here at Fox News think you should be on the defensive about.
Right. Last break. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Yep, there's a there's this myth that the president just needs to be sitting around in the Oval Office, just thinking about the scandals. Like,
yeah,
it ought to be just those scandals.
Dealing with the made up crap Fox throws at him, the questions they ask with the Cavuto mark on the end. to their satisfaction, which of course is impossible because nothing he ever does will satisfy them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's like that freaking idiotic thing that Ben wrote about at Banter this week about the conservative blogger who says that he knows that Obama was on blow the night of Benghazi.
Yeah.
And that's the only logical explanation for why he supposedly couldn't be found for a couple of hours. That's the logical – that's the leap of logic this giant asshole has made.
Right.
But he'll retract everything if Obama will just answer his questions. And that's all it is. That's all it's ever been. This entire administration has been answer our idiocy.
Yeah.
Answer, we're just going to throw crap at you, and you are required to answer it.
And you know who it was who reported that? That was Dean Chambers, the unskewed polls guy.
Oh, God. Yeah, if it weren't for the fact that was so damn funny and was worth really, was worth pointing out, and Ben did a terrific job with it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I read it, and part of me was just like, what? Why? Why are we at Banter giving this jackass any PR whatsoever?
Yeah.
None. And why? But it is so damn funny it's great stuff to write about. It is. It's just great material.
Oh, yeah, of course. Anything that's so far fringe like that, like the president was just clearly doing cocaine. That's why it all happened. Obviously, we know that he was doing cocaine.
We know the president was doing cocaine. There it is, yeah.
No,
we know the president was doing cocaine that night. How do you know this? There were a couple of hours where he wasn't around, and that's the time that he needs to take for the coke to the blow to metabolize into his system. And what the f*** are you talking about?
We know it. He was clearly on cocaine. And by the way, why was he on cocaine when there are three scandals to worry about? Why isn't he just sitting there and thinking about those scandals? What's the matter with him? Slacker.
Unreal.
Lazy. Lazy cocaine abuser president.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it is. It's the lazy black guy thing again.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. So let's. Last week on the, I believe it was the after party, you said something that was one of the funniest things I think you've ever said And it was on the after party. So those of you who subscribe were lucky enough to be able to hear it. We were talking about the Wolf Blitzer thing after the tornado, where he asked this woman if she thanked the Lord that she and her son are okay. And she replied that she was an atheist.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
And, you were talking about Nancy Grace referring to this woman as Tot Mom Anders.
Oh, Mom Tot. That's what Mom the kid Tot, is. The kid, is Mom Tot Anders.
Mom Tot Anders.
I'm demanding answers. Jackass. Just painful.
Yeah.
And, I think that the more I work, and this is, let's getting back to me, Al Franken. The more I work, the harder I work, the longer hours I put in for, sometimes I'm lucky enough to make great money. Sometimes I'm just struggling my ass off. We've all been there.
Yeah.
But the more I work and the harder I work, the more angry I get over the career of someone like Nancy Grace.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that bitter old guy, but I'm getting to that point where it's like this raging lunatic who not only serves no purpose, but is actually detrimental to society, is making a bloody fortune at CNN.
Oh, yeah.
And the rest of us are busting our asses every day at jobs we probably don't like, getting paid, really average money at best, some getting paid barely enough to survive. And you get to turn on the TV at night and there's Nancy Grace making a freaking fortune.
Yeah.
Being Nancy Grace, being this lunatic.
Mm-hmm. And what's worse is that Headline News is doing huge numbers right now.
Right. Yeah. They're doing massive numbers. Yeah. And that's that. So that model that they're doing right now with her, that's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I wrote for Huffington and Banter. I wrote an open letter one time, which not that anybody gives a crap about anything I have to say seriously, but I actually put it in the form of an open letter about how if CNN has any sort of respect whatsoever, and this is of course the pre-Zucker era when I wrote this, if CNN has any sort of respect whatsoever for its reputation as the gold standard in television journalism, it can't proclaim that and have Nancy Grace on its staff at the same time.
That's right.
You've got to get rid of her. You've got to get rid of her.
Yeah.
But they won't. She's just doing huge numbers for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Chris Hayes is going to get canned
at some point
by MSNBC if this keeps up. Yep. He puts on a good show, but it's not going to last. While Nancy Grace, because she pulls in just like, Leviathan numbers, she'll be there for as long as she wants.
That's right. That's right. And Alex Perrine wrote a great piece in Salon about, I think the headline was, "What's Wrong with MSNBC?"
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah. And he basically went through and analyzed all of the cable news networks and where they are in the ratings and try to figure out why MSNBC is getting clobbered the way they are. And it's not
just at the moment. Everything is cyclical.
Yeah,
The response to something as arbitrary as ratings has always freaked me out as somebody who did TV news for a long time. I mean, you watch that thing you read about in the Joe Muto excerpt where O'Reilly pours over every single second of the numbers. I mean, I get why he does it because, obviously he's doing something right since he's been on top for as long as he has. Mm-hmm. But I've seen people like that and I'm always shocked by that reaction because there are things that you can't account for that will make people tune out.
They'll tune
out for no good reason.
Well, especially with politics, too, because politics, people get tired of politics. Even political junkies just kind of
move. Like me,
I mean, they
become worn out after a while.
They become less enthusiastic about it, and they kind of back off for a bit, and then they get back into it. We always see that right after an election, too. Like the 2 months, like the December and January after an election is like the dead zone in political blogging. And it's happened. I've been doing this for a long time, and it invariably happens every single time. There's an election. It's just nothing afterwards. And it's just because people are sick of it. And, Perrine was also careful to note here with regards to MSNBC that they might end up labeling this as being or Zucker, whoever will label this as being, well, people just don't want liberals. They don't like these, fringy liberal guys. Chris Hayes, for example. Well, Rachel Maddow is still the top has still carries the best ratings on the network.
Yeah.
And she's
with very good reason.
Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah, and she's she's liberal and she's smart about it. So you can't use that as sort of the cudgel that is destroying MSNBC. It's clearly doing well.
I appreciate Perrine's argument, though, and I'm probably, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm stealing from him, but I'm probably going to write about this at some point for banter. But, you know, I like Perrine's argument that eventually the I want to do the stories that I think are underrepresented, that's very, very noble. And that's what Hayes does.
Yeah.
You know, it's a noble thing to do. But the fact is, and I said it from the very beginning, while I respected his show very, very much, I wasn't sure how much I liked it. And turning your back on what's on news of the day is, again, noble, but it's not guaranteed to bring you a huge audience. In fact, there's a pretty good chance it's not going to bring you a big audience.
Right.
It's going to bring you a cult audience, mm-hmm. the kind of audience who tunes in just for you.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, also, and I don't mean to take away from Rachel's success, but she also had the advantage when she launched her show of it being in a high watermark period for political observance. I mean, sure. Because it was during an election that she started. She started, I think it was in the early fall of 2008. Right. So it's sort of like.
And she had an Olbermann lead in.
Then that was the other thing. She had the Olbermann lead in. So she had a big advantage, you know, at the very beginning for finding an audience. Whereas I think Chris Hayes is kind of just floating out there.
It really much is of, a shame that Olbermann is so toxic.
Yeah, it
is.
Really
it's
is.
A shame that he's such a raging pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Because honestly. He really was a good fit at 8 o'clock mm-hmm. when you could keep him at least somewhat reined in. When he was on, he was amazing. He was inconsistent, but he was a great fit at 8.
Yeah, and not only that, he presented, I think, a strong anchor for that primetime lineup.
He did.
He was like the centerpiece of it, and it felt because that show had heft and not maybe not so much in terms of the content, which I think Rachel Maddow. Has lots of content heft, but I think he had that sort of Ted Baxter Anchorman kind of that.
Yeah, he's got you know, he's a good broadcaster. He's a brilliant broadcaster.
Yeah,
he just unfortunately his power and gravitas as a broadcaster is matched by the impossibility of getting along with him.
Yeah. Well, and that, one of the reasons why Headline News is doing so well right now is the Jody Arias thing, that trial.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
but the problem is, here's the problem. The problem is that while the Jody Arias case is a big deal, Headline News basically made the Jody Arias case, and they can mm-hmm. continue to do it. They can, if you look hard enough, somewhere across this country, you can find a case, something like Jody Arias, and they can subsist off that crap. That's one of the reasons why Nancy Grace has managed to have an ongoing, you know, her ratings are steady. Even before this happened, her ratings on her Headline News piece of crap show are so steady is that every, you know, all she has to do is look around the country and find some white girl who's missing, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the enemy? Who's the, you know, who's the accused in this or the soon to be accused as soon as I accuse them, you know, and who's the missing kid mm-hmm. or who's the missing person? That's it. That's all you need. That's the recipe for a Nancy Grace rating success.
Yeah. And it might not be that Chris Hayes sucks or that MSNBC sucks. It's more in terms of what people are thinking about and what they're talking about.
No. I mean, I'll tell you something. I want to sort of prepare. You know, maybe what I'm going to write about. I want to sort of prepare MSNBC viewers and Chris Hayes fans for what's going to come, which is if his ratings don't pick up, there's, you know, what are you going to hear? Come on. You're going to hear the, oh my God, MSNBC sucks because they weren't willing to, you know, they put crap on the air, but they weren't. It's like, look, I get it. I want good programming on the air. You want good programming. We all want something different, something better, something stronger, something that's more like, you know, that fantasy news night, Aaron Sorkin, you know, fantasy that we've got in our heads.
Yeah.
But the problem is if it's not bringing in numbers, they won't keep it on the air, period. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about this before, but we've entered into an era, and I think it's been going on and leading towards this for the last maybe 10 years, that nothing in cable anymore, and cable specifically, is necessarily allowed to find its audience. It used to be that you could kind of have something that you believed in as a network executive, as a creative executive, and let it kind of ferment and let it grow its audience, let it find its audience. But it's not like that anymore because of the glut of media now between handheld devices and DVRs and all of it. You know, you gotta have that quick hit. It's got to happen instantly, yes. Or else we got to move on to something else. Because
I don't like that attitude. I really don't. But I do. You know, I do appreciate what Perrine's saying, and I agreed with this completely because I said when I wrote about Hayes the first time when I wrote about Hayes being moved to 8 o'clock, I said I'm like he's going to have to change the tone of his morning show in order to make the adjustment and in order to survive at 8. You know, it doesn't mean it can't be smart. It's just something about the show will have to change, and really nothing about the show changed.
Yeah.
It's essentially up, just moved to 8 o'clock prime time, and it was never going to succeed that way. It just isn't.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I hate to retread the same old ground. It's important to highlight the different ingredients that go into one of these shows. Now, Chris, I like Chris Hayes. I think he's smart. I think he chooses topics that no one else are talking about. It's the thing that Rachel Maddow does.
I think it's important stuff, but man, 8 o'clock primetime is not the place for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's not a place to learn how to be a broadcaster. You know, you don't act as sort of a pundit or a contributor to other shows for a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly.
And then suddenly become an anchor.
That kind of show is great where it was. It's the perfect pad out your schedule show to show that we've got some really bright programming on the air, the kind of thing where people will find and it can grow in its place there. It was too much to expect for that to succeed at 8 o'clock prime.
Yeah.
It just, that's not the kind of show that succeeds then. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And again, Rachel coming into MSNBC as a host had the broadcast background. She had that radio experience where she knows how to communicate in a way that's appropriate for broadcasting, for attention spans and for listening. And she knows how to be an authority because it's, you know, I mean, let's face it. Half of this is performance. The other half is content. I don't even know if that's the exact ratio. It might be 90% performance and 10% content. Probably is. But the performance aspect of it is there are just certain bread and butter things that you need to know in order to anchor a show. You need to
you have to be, being a writer is great, but you have to be a broadcaster. And Hayes, you know, and Hayes isn't bad. He really isn't. Yeah. But, you know, and I said from the very beginning, I give MSNBC a crap load of credit for saying that this is what we want to be.
Right.
I think that takes balls of steel. And when the show debuted, I also wrote, I said, I respect the show and admire it more than I like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, imagine this. I mean, this is not a one-to-one comparison, but it took Conan O'Brien maybe 10 years to really find his place in late night.
That's true.
And it was because he was coming in as a guy who had just done nothing but writing and producing. And suddenly he's thrust on air. Remember how everyone was so shocked? It was back in the early 90s during the late night wars and all that. Who's this guy, Conan O'Brien? Why is he getting late night? And what has he done? Who is he? Oh, Saturday Night Live. Okay. He did some episodes of The Simpsons. Okay. But has he ever hosted a show? Well, no. But so it was that, I think it was that lack of broadcast experience that prevented him from really gaining a huge audience right away. It took him a while.
Right.
And I still think he's kind of an awkward host. I think he's funny as all hell. But he's still, his presentation is still a little
He's niche entertainment. He was never right for the Tonight Show.
Yeah. But it's that broadcast thing. It's that broadcast experience. It's the performance side of it.
And so, it's interesting because Hayes, knowing what we know about NBC and like the NBC culture, honestly, it's not as big a, you know, it's more of a one-to-one comparison than you think because, you know, seeing what NBC did to Conan O'Brien, Hayes, you know, just because it's entertainment and news, it's not really two different things to NBC.
Yeah.
Seeing what they did to him, he should have known, like, look, you know what, if they put me into a place that I'm not suited for, I bite off more than I can chew, even if they tell me to take that bite, I'm screwed. I'm the one who's going to be out of a job.
That's right. Hey, look, lots of stuff we didn't get to this week. I was going to lead all of this discussion of cable news into a talk about Glenn Beck and his latest conspiracy theory, but we're going to have to bump that over to the after party. That's tomorrow at noon Eastern time, every Thursday at noon Eastern. Subscribe on the blog. You can do it. I know you can do it. It's only $6 a month. You can cancel anytime. We're going to be talking about Glenn Beck. We're going to be talking about this. Oh, maybe we talked about the Fox News mole already, but maybe a little more on that. Let's see. Arrested Development. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And maybe Kitchen Nightmares. That's on the after party. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Help me.